Well, good morning and welcome to our live stream service from Saintville Road Presbyterian, and to worship together, apart, in the name of our Lord Jesus. There's just 8 of us here this morning, but we're hoping there'll be some more next week as we're able to open up our church buildings for worship again. So next week, the 13th of December, will be for all those in even-numbered districts who want to come, and there'll also be Sunday picnic and the Ark for children too. On the 20th of December, we're planning 3 all-age Advent services at 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock, and 2:30, and that's for districts 1 to 5 and 6 to 10 and 11 to 15, respectively. And then in the evening, there'll be a recorded carol service available from 7 o'clock. And we're working on that at the moment, and it's looking and sounding fabulous and something for you to watch and enjoy, but also share with others, like you might have invited them along to a carol service. Share it around with others this year. Weather and COVID permitting, we're still hoping to have a short 15-minute celebration service on Christmas Day at 10:15 with a carol or two, and then a pre-recorded service on the 27th of December. So no live worship here on that Sunday. Today, however, is the second Sunday in Advent, and David and Joe Wardlow, with their daughter Hannah, are going to light the Advent candles from home for us.
We light these candles as a sign of the coming light of Christ.
When Zechariah spoke of who his son John the Baptist would be, he said, "You will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in the darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." Luke 1:76-79.
Let us live in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has come from heaven to bring us forgiveness, mercy, and peace.
Joe, David, and Hannah, and just as their candles are lit there, so ours are lit here. We're going to sing together now and celebrate how Jesus gloriously and powerfully came into the ordinariness and the humility of our lives for us as we sing From the Squalor.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about this morning and about the preparation of Advent for the true celebration of Christmas, that most powerful of events, when God became human. There's a Christian song, a prayer really, that we used to sing in the 1980s that came to mind. You may not know it, or it may have particular resonances with you, but I'm simply going to use it as we pray together now. Let's pray. Restore, our Lord, the honor of your name. In works of sovereign power, come shake the earth again, that all may see, and come with reverent fear to the living God. Your kingdom shall outlast the years. Restore, O Lord, in all the earth your fame, and in our time revive the church that bears your name. In your anger, Lord, remember mercy. Living God, your mercy shall outlast the years. Bend us, O Lord, where we are hard and cold. In your refiner's fire, come purify the gold. Though suffering comes and evil crouches near, still our living God is reigning. You are reigning here. Lord, we praise you and we pray to you as we gather together in Jesus' name and by your Spirit in us. Amen. Before we come to our reading in Malachi, let me just make a few announcements and reminders. First is a reminder about recording the third verse of Hark the Herald Angels Sing. So for our carol service, we're encouraging as many people who want to record themselves singing, listening to the backing track and holding their phone, recording themselves singing the third verse of Hark the Herald Angels Sing, so we can have a great big SRPC virtual choir. Now, the deadline for that was tomorrow. We're going to extend that till next Sunday the 13th of December. So there's a website, tinyurl.com/recordinghark. You can download all you need there and look up the instructions. You don't need to be a great singer. Gary can make you sound like Pavarotti or Mariah Carey or whoever you want to be. You just have to sing joyfully, and we can put all the faces on screen, as many as will, and have a great virtual choir. So do that this week. Also, talking of music, don't forget this CD, available by contacting the office, and give generously when you receive however many you want to the Mission Support Fund and to Storehouse. Storehouse drop-offs are still possible here at the church building on Tuesdays and Friday mornings. And also, again, this Saturday, the 12th, at Nigel and Linda Moore's, that's 45 Greer Park Avenue. 10 till 12, you can drop off Storehouse donations there too. Do remember the At Home for Christmas resources on the PCI website that I mentioned last week. And there are other videos too on there from Global Mission Workers for our prayers. As part of the At Home for Christmas, the moderator, David Bruce, has launched a Christmas appeal towards the ongoing and the broad-ranging COVID-19 emergency relief effort. So any funds donated to that will be distributed between PCI's relief and development partners, Christian Aid and Tear Fund, and they're already engaged in longer-term sustainable development work amongst those most affected by COVID-19. And so they're well placed to direct additional efforts to combat the crisis. And funds will also go to PCI's partner churches in South Sudan, Malawi, Indonesia, Nepal, Lebanon, Syria, and Romania. Now, this is going to be the focus of our giving right at Christmas time, particularly on the 20th of December at our services and on Christmas Day. You can give by envelope through the church office, or if you're here in one of those services, or online through the PresbyterianIreland.org website. Well, details of that and other announcements, including any queries you might have about your giving to church as year-end approaches, that's all on the announcement sheet, which is downloadable from the website. Well, the next installment of Advent E20M is, of course, available. But as I said earlier, our reading today is from Malachi and is brought to us by Kathleen Montgomery.
The reading is taken from Malachi chapter 2, beginning at verse 17 and reading through to chapter 3, verse 5. You have wearied the Lord with your words. How have we wearied him, you ask? By saying, all who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord, and he is pleased with them. Or where is the God of justice? I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord as in days gone by, as in former years. So I will come to put you on trial. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, and perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless, and deprive the foreigners among you of justice. But do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty. Amen.
Our next carol is In the Bleak Midwinter. I've never been sure it necessarily reflects the climate when Jesus was born in the Middle East at whatever time of year it was. It does, however, reflect our weather at the moment and the temperature here in the church when I recorded my sermon on Friday. If you have high definition, you might at that point be able to see my breath. But the carol does beautifully pick up the wonder of God incarnate and our appropriate response. So let's sing together.
Thank you. Last week, we picked up on this idea of saving Christmas, and that neither the government nor we truly save Christmas, but Christmas saves us. We mark at Christmas that God has come to us. But we did also say that Christmas might need some saving. Saving from what we make of it, or perhaps what we don't make of it. And the prophetic words of Malachi that we heard read, among the last in the Old Testament, are about the Lord coming to us. But that is a blessing that also brings a challenge to our worship. Let me give you a bit of context. Back in Malachi's time, about 400 or 500 years before the birth of Jesus, the people are back from exile and they're living in the land. And things they feel should be good, great and ideal are not great or ideal. And they're wondering why, after all that God has done and promised, why are things still not right? They're wondering where the rightness and the goodness and the blessing of God is in their lives. It's there in those questions in verse 17. Where's the God of justice and rightness? But these questions, we're told, weary the Lord. And they weary him, not because he doesn't love the people. I have loved you, is the opening of Malachi. And not because he doesn't want to bless them and have them know and experience his blessing among them. Test me and see if I'll not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it, he says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Now, these questions weary God, because while the people ask these questions about where God is and where's justice and his blessing are in all of this, they are at the same time so superficial in their worship of him. And that's what the opening couple of chapters of Malachi chart. They celebrate their religious festivals, all right, seemingly in his name, but they have no right fear of him. Their sacrifices to him are lame and half-hearted. They don't listen to the true instruction from God and about his ways and how they're to live. They're not faithful in the way they behave because they've been so influenced by the ungodly values around them. You wonder where God is? Says the Lord. Stop it with these wearying questions. You're not going to feel my presence or experience my blessing if your religious observance and celebrations are superficial and hollow. That's what the Lord's saying in Malachi. But, he goes on later after our passage to say, if my people return to me, I will return to you. If you turn to invest in real worship of me, meaningful worship of me, then you will see the blessing I pour out on you. Now that's largely what's going on in Malachi, but what's really striking in the words, the particular words that Heather read for us, is that the Lord promises to come and sort this out in a profound way, to sort out their worship and the rightness and the meaning of that in a profound way. He says this, see, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come. I'm coming to you, says the Lord. You ask, where's God? Where's God in all of this? You desire me to be among you? I'm coming. And that is something to be delighted in. Oh yes, it's a cause of joy, their desire, their delight. But it's also a cause of challenge. Because the Lord is coming not simply to benignly bless his people in what they're doing already, but powerfully to refine them, to challenge and change them, to cause their worship of him to be something true and right and meaningful, not just superficial and hollow. I will come near to you for judgment, says the Lord, in the context of pointing out what is wrong, that it be made right again. There are two images there in his words. The refining fire that burns away impurities to produce pure silver and gold, and the launderer's soap that cleans and tightens the fibers in a woven material. These processes of making that which is compromised instead gloriously fit for purpose. The Lord comes because his covenant matters, his people matters, and his people need saved, not least from themselves, and truly shaped to worship him. Now this is, of course, a message for life and not just for Christmas, but it must have its resonances with our Christmas celebrations that mark the very coming of the Lord prophesied here in Malachi. As we celebrate Christmas, what sort of celebration will it be? One that nominally recognises the Lord Jesus, but ultimately is quite hollow and superficial in that regard. Not much more than a slightly overindulgent winter break, at the end of which nothing much is different. The joy dissipates as the world returns to its broken normal, and we wonder, where was and is God in all that anyway? Or will it be a Christmas where we've responded to the challenge to mark the birth of our Lord in ways that please him, that are meaningfully shaped by what he values? Celebrations on which we can reflect and say, we experience the justice and blessing of God in this. So listen, this has been the strangest of years. We will want and we will need a winter rest and perhaps time with families in this season. And that is all well and good and important. But Christmas is more profound than just that, isn't it? Let's not let Christmas slide into something superficial, impure, loose, that we justify rather than change. But let's face the challenge of what Christmas could and should be. I simply want to pick out and reflect on the challenging words and ideas of verse 5 to help us reflect on how our Christmas and we might be refined. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers and perjurers, begins the Lord. Well, that might seem a strange list initially, but recognize what God is saying in this. I have a real problem, he says, with people being drawn away from my real power, from my faithful love, and from life-changing truth. Don't let the magical escapism and the enticing fiction draw you from the power, love, and truth of Christ come to us at Christmas. We're given, aren't we, a kind of Disneyfication of Christmas at times. It's a time of escapism, magic and sparkle that takes us out of our ordinary and sometimes painful lives. Songs and movies and Facebook pictures put up ideals of what it should be like in families together. That ideal Christmas experience we long for, or we think we should long for. It's a time for indulgence. Come on, have a bit of this. It's Christmas. And of course, there's a real place for celebrating and food and movies. But just realize that so much of what we're given about Christmas is just a fleeting illusion. After the escapism, we land back in the reality of life. And the same issues still remain, don't they? Christmas didn't change anything, and behind the ideal pictures, the reality hasn't changed. We can indulge ourselves and have a bit of what we want and fancy, but that never satisfies, and it often has painful consequences. From the food we ate, to the money we spent, to the things that were said and done. Instead, the real power of Christmas is that God became man. And take some time this Christmas simply to think about that and let your mind be blown. We name it often, but we pass over the words so easily. We watch fantasy films in which gods come to earth, but here is a powerful truth, the powerful truth of Christmas, that the creator of the universe, who flung stars into space, became a creature, a baby made of flesh and blood and bone among us. The lasting redemption and purpose in this world. Think about that this Christmas. Let your mind dwell on what it means for the Creator to become like us, and what a difference grasping that makes to everything. That is the power, the true power of Christmas. Not magical escapism, but God incarnate. And the faithful love of Christmas is seen in the lasting commitment of God coming to us and for us. That true, committed, self-giving love for others that calls us not to forsake who and what we're committed to for the sake of a momentary misplaced desire, but to love like He does, because He first loved us. And the life-giving truth of Christmas is not that Jesus came into our picture-perfect lives to simply bless and affirm us, but into our real, far less than ideal, messy, broken, sinful situations. We do ourselves no favours being caught in the enticing lies of a magical Christmas ideal, while forgetting the truth of the one who came right into the reality of what is actually going on for us behind the scenes. In all the fun, let's not let ourselves simply be drawn away by the magical escapism and enticing fiction that can mark Christmas, but instead make time to open your hearts to the real power, the faithful love, the life-changing truth of Christmas, and make time to share it with others too. For example, we're planning at 3:30 on the afternoon of Sunday the 20th of December, after the last of the all-age Advent services, to do another drop around homes in our neighbourhood. A Christmas gift this time, a note, a bit of chocolate, perhaps a chocolate coin, And this little leaflet, which talks about Christmas hope in a COVID world. It talks about the God who came from the Father, full of truth and grace. Christmas isn't simply a temporary magical enticement out of a COVID world, but the truth of the God of power, love, and truth, who is with us in it. Come and help us give these out, and we will have some spares too around the church. If you want to take a few and share them with your family, your friends, your neighbours, your colleagues this Christmas. But Malachi also wants us to think practically in other ways about how we show the power, love, and truth of God at Christmas. And the challenge is that we don't let Christmas become religious sentiment without justly lived lives. Don't let it become religious sentiment without justly lived lives. In fact, don't let your celebration of Christmas be to the detriment of others, the injustice of others, but to their blessing. There are three issues the Lord spells out that he is concerned about, concerned that the people are ignoring, even adding to, in their religious festivities. First is this: be aware of defrauding labourers of their wages. Black Friday has come and gone, but there are still deals and sales to be had. When the shops open again, they will be bunged, no doubt, and people hunting for offers. Great deals at no cost. But there is a cost. There is a cost to underpaid producers and overworked deliverers, to local shop owners, to those upholding our fragile infrastructure, to those labouring away in hospitals as new cases come through the door because shops went crazy, to our society as it becomes hell-bent on consuming. Of course, there is a good argument for people working and helping the economy, but let's stop and think about what we are doing before we buy, before we demand, before we consume. Before you hassle the worker at the till or on the end of the phone because you haven't got what you wanted or your Christmas food isn't just right. This isn't the simplicity and self-giving of the first Christmas. This isn't the rest and peace that overworked workers need. This isn't helping the NHS. This isn't saving Christmas. This isn't honouring the name of the Lord. Let's save Christmas from this. Be aware of oppressing the widows and the fatherless. This year, more people will have lost loved ones, and that will feel even more acute in the circumstances. For many, Christmas simply has not been happy for years, for all sorts of reasons of loss. For all the talk of three households, for some people that will still mean no one, by choice or otherwise. Christmas isn't about this sentimental picture of family. We should take care in how we talk about family and frustrations we air when for others the feeling of frustration is more lasting and acute. What can we do rather than implicitly further oppress those who feel blue at Christmas to bless instead? That, of course, calls for creativity in these days, but it's not beyond us, is it? Who can we telephone? Who can we drop by on the doorstep with? Who can we send a card to, go for a walk with, have in our garden? How can you give to those who have no one who will otherwise provide for them? Storehouse continues to provide for a great need this Christmas. How are we looking out for others rather than simply being contented within ourselves this Christmas. And be aware of depriving aliens of justice. Actually, one version of Malachi 3, verse 5, talks about those who thrust aside the sojourner. The sojourner, the alien, the person travelling but without a home. The homeless. People living here but with few connections. Refugees here and elsewhere in the wider world. Families like Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, who had to flee to Egypt and live far from family and home. Do we mentally thrust them aside in our Christmas celebrations? How can we bring these issues into our prayers, into our homes? And if not physically, then how? We celebrate Christmas where Christ left his heavenly home to become a homeless child and refugee and save people from the mess and wickedness and injustice that we humans are inveigled in. Are there social and economic injustices that you can identify this Christmas? Are there ways in which we contribute to those problems? Will we just thrust them aside? Or what can we do to combat and bring greater justice for others? How is God wanting to refine us and our Christmas worship? How can we invest in Christmas profoundly as people who mark the coming of this Lord? How will we spend our money at Christmas on what is necessary and just and life-affirming? How will we use our time and resources to think, to reflect, to act? Lots of questions. But what sits with you as the Lord comes near to you in these days? In as far as we invest in a Christmas that properly marks the coming of the Lord, in good and right and just ways, may we trust that we will know more profoundly the blessing of God with us. Not a hollow and superficial marking, but one that makes a profound and lasting difference in us and others. Then truly, may we have a blessed Christmas.
Let us join together in prayer. Let us pray. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, in this time of Advent and expectation, help us to remember that you sent your Son into this dark world to be a light to all the world. The first Christmas was not an easy one, yet from the difficulties came a light which would rescue us from the darkness of sin. As we see the Christmas lights on trees and in windows, we pray that we may fix our eyes upon Jesus, the true light of the world. And as we remember the poverty and simplicity of the first Christmas, we pray for grace and wisdom to accept the restrictions placed upon us for our safety and that of others. We remember those who are homeless this Christmas. We pray that you would enable these organisations to deal with this problem, that they would have enough funds, accommodation, and food to help everyone in need. We pray for those who are fearful for the future. Grant them freedom from undue worry. May they remember that you are in control over everything. We remember those in care homes and their relatives who miss the touch of a hand or a simple hug. May they be aware of your loving presence with them at all times.
We continue to pray for the workers in the National Health Service and other frontline workers, that they may be kept safe and well, and we thank you for those who have been inspired in the discovery of the vaccine. May it be effective and distributed to those in need fairly and with speed and safety. We pray for those whose families are scattered and who may not be able to meet as a family this year. We thank you for the technology that can enable us to meet virtually, if not in person. Help us not to think that we are the only ones who will be feeling the loss this year. Help us to remember the happy Christmas times in the past we have spent, and trust you to enable us to meet safely together again. We pray for those who have been bereaved this year, whether through the virus or for other reasons. May you be their comfort and strength at this time. We pray that many may come to realise that the real reason for this celebration is the birth of a Saviour who brings hope and light and salvation into our darkness. We pray that love will dominate our thoughts and lives. As we remember the words of the carol, "Love came down at Christmas." For we pray in the name of Jesus, the light of the world, our Saviour. Amen.
Well, thanks to Harold and Eileen for their prayers. We end as we sing of the joy that has dawned with the birth of Christ. Joy has dawned upon the world.
Thank you.
Well, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.